Good day and welcome to another special edition of the International News Desk. I'm Cor Shaw-Roberts, and of course, I'm joined by the not so happy Kurt Buckerfield. How are you, Kurt?
I'm good, thanks, Sean. How are you?
A little bit of a throat infection, my boy.
Yeah. A little tickle.
But let's move straight on to this week's crazy games. Let's start with Man City against Real Madrid. We briefly chatted about this before the podcast in terms of no one ever saw seven goals in this game. A little bit concerning for City side, I would say, to concede three at home, number one, obviously the three away goals. Kurt, how do you see the game?
Yeah, I think at times it looked like City could win by three or four themselves. You know, I think they were 2-0 up in 11 minutes. De Bruyne and Jesus scoring, and it looked like they were going to run away with it. Real Madrid didn't look up for it at all. They were defensively a shambles. David Alaba, Militao, neither of them pulling their weight. Mendy at left back was also pretty shocking. And at that point it looked like, well, the tie's over. It looked like City's through to the final. But then there was like a 30 minute period where City missed one or two very, very good chances. Mm-hmm. Chances that they probably should have scored from. And then the commentators start to talk about how those chances could potentially come back to bite them. And it did. Benzema gets them back into the game with a really good finish.
Amazing goal, by the way.
An amazing first-time finish with his weaker foot. So 2-0 up, it felt over. And I totally understood how people would have thought that, you know, that's it, the tie's over. But Real Madrid got back into it, as has been the theme of their season in Europe, really. They looked defeated against PSG in the round of 16 until Benzema's 17-minute hat-trick. They looked defeated against Chelsea in the quarterfinals until an individual moment of, you know, brilliance by Modric, that outside of the foot pass for Rodrigo. Then Benzema scores the winner. They lost the game. It was obviously 4-3, but small moments have given them a chance, I think, of getting to the final. Obviously, City are, you know, still a really, really strong team, and it's not going to be easy for Real Madrid to turn the tie around necessarily, even though they'll be playing at the Bernabeu. But this is what Real Madrid are right now. If you look at Real Madrid, really just for the last 20 years, they rely on big moments from individual players. City, it's a well-oiled machine, well-coached side. A tested system. They play within patterns. The ball goes there, it goes there, and it goes there. Whereas Real Madrid, you know, there's more emphasis on what Benzema can bring to the team in any given moment. Modric, maybe Vinicius Junior. Of course, his goal was phenomenal. The way he sold Fernandinho with that dummy. So it's less predictable at Real Madrid. A cracking game. Like you said, now nobody would have seen seven goals being scored in that game.
No, just to touch on Benzema, the form he's in, that cheeky penalty. I mean, the confidence he's showing. He's got to be the best striker in the world at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's the best player in the world at the moment, and I think that. I was just looking at his numbers before we did the show. Now,
yeah,
you know, he scored that hat trick against Real Madrid. In the second tie of the round of 16.
Not Real Madrid.
Against PSG.
Yeah.
He then scores a hat-trick in his next Champions League game against Chelsea. Yeah. He then scores the winner to send Real Madrid through to the semi-finals. He then scores now two against City. I think it's 9 goals in his last 4 knockout games. And against some really, really strong sides, you know. For me, the best player in the world at the moment, and I do think the front runner for the Ballon d'Or, definitely.
I agree. What is the record in terms of during a Champions League tournament, the amount of goals scored?
17, Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's hard to fathom. Right, Liverpool at home to Villarreal, as it seemed, always in control, right? Great performance defensively going forward. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, like you said, total control. Villarreal are by no means one of the biggest sides in European football, but I think this Liverpool team is probably one of the greatest teams, I think, of the last 20 years. I think you could probably put that Real Madrid side that won the three consecutive Champions Leagues. Yeah. I think you can put Pep's Barcelona. I think the City side could get there if they manage to get their hands on the Champions League. But watching this Liverpool side, they're incredible. Incredible from start to finish. It's just relentless. They're inevitable. You know, they didn't score in the first half. It was 0-0. Yeah. But at no point do you think that the tie could, or momentum could shift to the hands of Villarreal. It just looked like Liverpool were creating chance after chance. Thiago, who, you know, many people criticised for his debut season, has hit form at the right time. Mm. I think I saw a stat, he completed 96 of his 99 passes. Another man of the match performance from him. And then at the back, they look so assured, so calm with Van Dijk and Konate, who seems to be just playing Champions League games at the moment. When Liverpool are playing in the league, they have Matip next to Van Dijk. Mm-hmm. So they just have so many good options from the bench. A really well-coached squad. Probably, I think Jurgen Klopp is one of the best managers. I think he will go down as one of the best managers of all time. Absolutely. Yeah, so it's fantastic to watch. Mane getting on the score sheet again.
Yeah.
And I think that they'll probably advance to the final. It's not going to be easy in Spain. Mm. But this Liverpool side is so strong that they can go all the way.
Yeah, I agree. And this is coming from a Man City fan. I love watching Liverpool.
Yeah.
I'd prefer if it wasn't a Man City-Liverpool final, to be honest, because... The form at Liverpool end is absolutely frightening, but exciting times ahead, guys. Let's move on to your man Neymar. A report suggests that the Brazilian star Neymar could be on his way out of PSG. This is even after the PSG secured their 10th Ligue 1 title with four games to spare. He was purchased, I think, from Barcelona. Yeah, well, here's the stats. Barcelona for 3.7 billion rand in 2017. And there's talks of him for going, was it just under 80 million? What's happening there, Cody?
Yeah, it just looks like, from the outside at least, that his relationship with the club and fans has completely broken down over the last year. I think maybe last year in 2020 or 2021, 2020, he was still popular among the fan base. He was playing some really good football in some really big matches. When PSG went to that final and lost to Bayern, Neymar was one of their better performers in that European campaign. And his numbers for PSG since joining in 2017 have been ridiculous. But I don't think that he's necessarily well appreciated for everything that's gone on around him, you know, outside of the football field. He's also missed over 100 games through injury since joining PSG.
Yeah.
And when you're paying, like you just said now, it was 222 million euros for a player, you expect performances and consistency week in and week out. And unfortunately, they haven't really been able to get that from Neymar. Mm. I think if you compare him with any other top player in the world, he's just as good as anybody. Mm. He's one of the best players in the world. But it hasn't necessarily resulted in PSG elevating their status to, you know, to become a real European giant. Exactly. I think it will be difficult to sell him. I think I'm not sure there are many clubs in the world at the moment who would spend, I think that PSG pay him 600,000 euros a week. I think even more than that, to be honest with you, Sean. And then to be signing him for 80 million on top of that, he's 30 years old now. Sky Sports have said that PSG would be willing to let go of Neymar. But I don't necessarily see it happening just because I don't know how much sense it makes to sign Lionel Messi on a free and then let go of Neymar a year later. I think that Messi has probably had Well, he has had a very underwhelming season. He hasn't looked settled at PSG at all. And now I've seen reports that, you know, Angel Di Maria, Leandro Paredes, Messi's Argentinian colleagues at PSG are basically on the transfer list. Mm. So I don't see it making sense to then sell Neymar too, who is a very good friend of Messi's. And I think that with Mbappe likely to leave for Real Madrid on a free, letting go of Neymar might not be the smartest move. So I think that he'll try and turn things around. I think after PSG won the league, fans staged a walkout while the players were celebrating, you know, just winning League One. Fans walked out of the ground. They didn't want to celebrate. And they were booing Neymar throughout that game. Well, they just can't handle the fact that they crashed out of the Champions League at the round of 16, especially when it looked like they were going through.
Yeah.
So there's huge disappointment after the investment that has been made in that squad. You know, I think for a fan, it's very frustrating to not see them making strides forward. They seem to be going backwards every season, despite the really high profile signings they make.
So Kurt, it's just surely this is the imminent sacking of
Pochettino.
Yeah,
for sure. Reports, it was last week, they said that they will look to get rid of him as soon as they can.
Wow.
Yeah.
We will watch this one closely. Kurt, the dirt, let's move into your team. Speaking about lots of changes within clubs, what's happening at United? We spoke to very briefly before, but there's a major overhaul going to happen. What's your opinion on this? Or it should happen, I guess.
Yeah, so I think one of the most important requests Ten Hag made before signing the contract to become the next Manchester United manager was that he would have control over transfers. And he made this clear that he would only accept the job if he had the final say of which players go out and which players come in. So it looks like Pogba, Cavani, Mata, Matic, the reserve goalkeeper, Lee Grant, and then Jesse Lingard are all set to leave for free. All of them. Six players out of the club in June as free agents. And then there's talk that the likes of Wan-Bissaka, Alex Telles, Eric Bailly, Phil Jones, they could all be sold. So it looks like there could be between
as a neutral,
of course,
it's,
of course,
yeah,
10 or 12 players out in one transfer window, which means that they would need to be replaced. Some relatively high profile, decent young players are being linked with United at the moment, but as you said now, Sean, it needs to happen. I think that most teams play within cycles. This United side has had sort of the same core for a very long time now.
Yeah.
The fact that Mata and Matic are still in the club's books is a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
And I think it's time that they completely overhaul the squad.
Yeah.
Ten Hag, I read, will have between 100 and 120 million to spend.
Beautiful.
But that's without the players going out. So, of course, wages will be freed up, etc., etc. So I think fans can expect a lot of changes at United, a lot of exciting changes. It doesn't necessarily mean things are going to improve straight away, but something has to be done. And I think we said this on the show a couple of weeks ago, but it's also in the club's best interests to give all the control over to the manager, because the way, you know, they've run things really poorly over the last, say, 9 years since Ferguson left. So give all the control over to a manager. And when he messes up, you can blame him. But it's exciting. As a United fan, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. Linked with some exciting players, Ruben Neves from Wolves, Calvin Phillips
Dybala
at Leeds United. That's not going to happen. I'm telling you now that won't happen. No, I think that on paper, that looks great, but it's not going to be effective in a Ten Hag system, I don't think.
Kante.
Imagine. Imagine, Sean. Wesley Sneijder. Let's go back to Wesley Sneijder.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest problem has been a proper defensive midfielder, hasn't it, for United?
Yeah, so that's why Calvin Phillips has been identified as a potential signing.
Good player.
Very good player.
Yeah.
Very good on the ball. Very good tackler. Does a really good job at the base of a midfield and United.
It reminds me of you at Fiverside.
No, thank you, Sean. You've never seen me play, but thank you.
Just consistent. Before we close off, Curdy, anything we need to keep our eyes and ears open for this coming week in terms of football around the world?
Well, just look out for the reaction to United and Chelsea. That game is happening on Thursday night. A lot of players will be missing for United, so I don't think... Well, I do think it will be another very, very disappointing performance from United. So let's just wait and see what sort of analysis comes from that, because I can tell you now it's going to be a shit show.
Oh, gosh, Kurt, I love your enthusiasm. Thank you, my friend, typical Man United supporter. Hope your throat gets better and you can just drink a cup of cement. And that is how we wrap up this episode of the International News Desk. Whether you've been listening to an SL podcast at Seattle Today, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mucky Gang 96.7 Game Time. I've been your host, Sean Robinson, of course, Kurt Buckerfield. Thank you, Kurtie.
Thanks, Sean.